With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
And as we begin the hour, we want to exclusively give you a chance to win some Seahawks tickets. So here's how it works. Sal's Morning News, Tom and Curly, The Ron and Don Show, and this show. We're giving away, each of us, a pair of tickets every day, today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. So starting this morning, those 12 chances for you to win. What you have to do is enter the code word for each particular show, for each particular day. And I can now tell you that our code word for the Dory Monson Show listeners today is punt. Punt is your code word. So what you do is go to mynorthwest.com/win, enter the word punt. Do it by the end of the show. You have until 3 o'clock, and you will be entered to win two tickets to see the Seahawks host the Vikings on Monday Night Football a week from tonight. So that expires at the end of this show. So mynorthwest.com/win, enter punt, and you will have a chance to win a pair of Seahawks-Vikings tickets for Monday Night Football. Listen to the Ron and Don Show later this afternoon, and they will give you another chance to win. And we'll do this all day tomorrow and Wednesday on Cairo Radio. So mynorthwest.com/win, and our word of the day is punt. So I hope you win. And I really mean that about you personally. I hope you're the one who wins those tickets. And with that as a mere prelude, let's get to our big lead this hour.
The Big Lead Update.
Last week, we shared with you a beautiful story about University of Washington running back Miles Gaskin. There was a woman who was in the final days of battling brain cancer. Her name is Trina Cristiani. And she and her husband, they're big Husky fans. They're from the same part of the region that Miles Gaskin played high school football in. And they said, man, if Trina could meet one Husky, it'd be Miles Gaskin. And so they got word to the University of Washington, and they thought, well, maybe after the Pac-12 championship game Friday night, maybe Miles Gaskin would come and say hi to this woman who was in the end stages of this battle. And instead, he shocked them by calling last Wednesday morning and coming by for a visit. It was really beautiful.
Yesterday at about 11:30, I got a message. Can I come at 4:30? Yes, you can.
Trina, a lifelong Husky fan, has had brain cancer for 12 years, but is getting near the end of her battle. Scott thought Gaskin might visit after the Pac-12 championship game. Never imagined he and teammate Race Porter would take time the night before flying to California.
Do you think he has any idea what his visit meant to you?
Yes, I do. Because I think he's an outstanding young man. And I think that they both saw an opportunity to bless somebody in a time of need. And they both said, I'm going to jump on that opportunity because I think they're game changers on and off the field.
And it was really beautiful because even though Trina Cristiani had lost really the ability to communicate, at one point they show a shot of her in her bed and she gave a thumbs up as Miles Gaskin and his teammate were there sitting by her side. And we got a message yesterday from Amy Clancy that Trina Cristiani passed away yesterday morning. And so if Miles Gaskin, if he'd put it off, if he had waited until after the Pac-12 championship game, as it would have been so easy to do, I got to go down to California, I'm playing in this big game, we'll do it after this weekend. If he had procrastinated, he wouldn't have been able to fulfill this family's wish. And so it makes the story even more beautiful that he was able to do that for Trina and her husband and to give them that just phenomenal moment last week. And so I wanted to share with you, since so many hearts were touched by the story of Trina Cristiani and the Husky running back star. I wanted to share with you that Trina's battle finally came to an end yesterday morning, but that young man made a real impact on that family, and that's very cool. And congratulations, by the way, to the Huskies who won that Pac-12 championship on Friday night and are going to the Rose Bowl where they're going to play Ohio State. But as I said last week, in a sports world where we have all kinds of stories like Kareem Hunt that we talked about last hour, it's nice to see sports stars who do things like what Miles Gaskin did for this family. And our heart and prayers go out to Trina Cristiani's family as she, after a 12-year battle that finally came to an end yesterday morning for her. But wanted to let you know that the haste with which Miles Gaskin acted on that family's wish wouldn't have mattered if he had waited until after the game. So that is the update to that story. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
Rather troubling story here locally. You've heard it in our newscast, but over the weekend, the Seattle Times obtained a report, and they only got a small excerpt of this report. But it said that if a major earthquake were to hit this region, we could be without water for 3 months. And after that powerful earthquake hit Anchorage, Alaska last week, it's all the more important for us to focus on what could happen to, you know, the most important infrastructure. And they say that Seattle has a 15 to 20% chance of a severe earthquake over the next 50 years. And they said if we want to mitigate the risks to the water system, it would cost $850 million. And a lot of California cities have done these major water system, water pipe upgrades because of the earthquake risk down there. But they said in the most catastrophic earthquake that we could be without drinking water, we wouldn't be able to flush our toilets, we'd just be out. There'd be no pressure in the pipes because of certain vulnerabilities in our water system. And what this illustrates to me is something that I've talked about many, many times. And that is the folly, and folly is too easy a word, the idiocy of voters who put people in office strictly because of radical social ideology. Jenny Durkin is not a leader. Dow Constantine, Jay Inslee, these are not leaders. They are political ideologues who get elected strictly for that reason. And God forbid, you know, we saw what happened when a fish truck flipped over a couple of years ago and the region was gridlocked for about 10 hours. If a fish truck flipping over does that, can you imagine what a terrorist could do to this region? Can you imagine what the worst act of God, if we got that major earthquake, would do to this region? And when you have people in charge who have no leadership capabilities, I mean, you can think whatever you want of Rudy Giuliani, but after 9/11, after the most unthinkable attack in our nation's history, the leadership of that man, and if you've ever read his book titled Leadership, which is a very important book, you saw how somebody reacted decisively and so quickly to lift up that city after hell rained down on it. We do not have that kind of leadership around here because social ideologues are generally lacking in those skills because what's elevated them to the office they occupy is a bunch of like-minded lackeys just nod their head and agree with everything they say. And when you hear about what could happen to this region, the other thing that's particularly infuriating about this is maybe instead of spending, we're going to be closing in by the time everything's said and done, on $100 billion for Sound Transit, a system that is doing nothing to alleviate gridlock and that will be completely obsolete by the time it's built out. Maybe instead of spending $100 billion on that scam, on that criminal operation, on that jobs program that has enriched developers and scamsters throughout government and private development, maybe if we prioritized and said, you know, instead of doing this, that's doing nothing for the region and that is ripping off the taxpayers, maybe we should take care of our most basic infrastructure that's essential for people to live if we have a major incident. I am scared to death. Can you imagine the SWAT and what the Seattle City Council, Mike O'Brien, Rob Johnson, can you imagine what those clowns would be like if we had a major disaster around here? We're talking about people's lives, and we keep electing clowns. And so this report should be a big wake-up call, but where are we going to get $850 million when we're already squandering so many billions on nonsense projects? But this is what you get when you elect the type of people that we've had running things, the one party that's been in control forever around here. And that brings us to the next story in our big lead.
The big lead, big local.
And I think Jenny Durkin should have to resign after the other major story that came out over the weekend. Again, the Seattle Times, they have released the details of how four Jenny Durkin staffers and Democratic political consultants used private email accounts to plan what to do after that head tax turned out to be such a disaster. And so when people like attorney Lincoln Beauregard, our friend, I'm going to try to get Lincoln on the show tomorrow, but Lincoln Beauregard was trying to get public records disclosure from the city of Seattle, and they withheld all of the communications that they used private Gmail accounts for. They did a lot of their communicating outside of the city of Seattle email accounts. And they thought, well, that way we can avoid public record disclosures. But the law is very clear, the Washington Public Records Act. It requires public agencies, and I'm quoting now, to make available for public inspection and copying all public records, any writing containing information relating to the conduct of government. It applies to records created or stored on home computers or other personal devices or from non-agency accounts. So it's now clear that several Jenny Durkin staffers, and as I said, Democrat political consultants, but we're talking about Stephanie Formas, Durkin's top spokesperson, deputy mayors Mike Fong, David Mosley, Shefali Ranganathan, who's with that Transportation Choices Coalition, that scam operation that has infiltrated city government. And they also used a Democrat political consultant, Sandeep Kaushik and Kelly Evans, who were looped in on these emails. But you are talking about a blatant attempt to do an end run around Washington's Public Records Act that ensures or is designed to ensure that government will be transparent and that they will not work back channels. And if we had any cojones at all, we would demand Jenny Durkin's resignation over this. When you have a mayor who is operating a stealth government to try to avoid any public detection. But I've told you from the get-go that Jenny Durkin, she's a robot on the surface, and she is quite the manipulator right below that robotic surface. But, you know, she wants to either be a senator or the governor. Seattle mayor is just a necessary stepping stone. That's the problem with politics. Inslee's governor because he wants to be president. Bob Ferguson's the AG because he wants to be the governor. Durkin's the mayor because she wants to be a senator or the governor. And they will do anything. They will stop at nothing, including going around Washington law to try to operate stealthily out of public eye. And that leads to situations like this on the streets of Seattle.
The big lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
A story that got zero coverage in the mainstream media this weekend. Antifa on the streets of downtown Seattle. A mob rallying for open borders. They want illegals to be able to just come at will into this country. They were out there chanting on Saturday afternoon.
Say it loud! Say it clear! Refugees are welcome here!
And they had all their chants too.
Nazis go home! Nazis go home! Nazis go home! Nazis go home!
There's a guy named Andy Ngo. He's from Portland. He's a citizen journalist. Since nobody else seems to be covering these stories, he was down there recording Antifa. And he wanted to just walk down a sidewalk, but a bunch of Antifa members had blocked the sidewalk and wouldn't let him go.
What are you doing, man? What are you doing?
Walking through here.
I don't think we want to let you walk through.
That's okay.
I'm not going to touch you.
No, Nazis out. Nazis out. That's the fascists out. No. Out. Out.
So Antifa wouldn't let a private citizen journalist walk down a public sidewalk in downtown Seattle on Saturday afternoon. Seattle police, they had a fence alongside the sidewalk. Seattle police had a line of cops there. And amazingly, even though they were threatening, I mean, they were threatening the life of Andy. One of the guys was talking about his Asian heritage and threatened to kill him.
See in your eyes that you got some Asian descent. Check your history. Your history shows you that you can't trust your enemy, but that you're using your enemy against us. Spying. Yeah, because it's coming. It's coming. I'm bringing the energy. That's why they keep checking on you. You understand? Because they want to know. Because I'm known to do this. For real, because some of us didn't really come to talk. Some of us really come to die, dude.
Some of us didn't come to talk. Some of us came to die.
Are you willing to die for a YouTube?
Because Andy posts these Antifa videos on YouTube. And so this guy asked him, are you willing to die for YouTube?
Yeah, but that's what's going to come, man. Death is coming to you, dude. Real to feel that energy? That's why your heart's pounding. I'm here to let you know, judgment's here. And you spying and doing this is going to get you end up hurt.
Okay, that sounds like a pretty direct threat. But the Seattle police, who did they warn in all of this? They warned Andy. They said his presence, just recording Antifa, was inciting violence.
At some point you're inciting conflict, man.
There's a Seattle cop talking.
Then we're going to take some action here and remove you from the area. Do you understand that?
How am I inciting conflict?
Oh. Because we're ending up in confrontation here. This can become a public safety issue.
Okay.
Where it's difficult for us to manage with people potentially getting hurt.
Okay.
Now, if you want to protest, you have the absolute right to exercise your
I'm not protesting.
Rights,
okay?
He didn't want to protest. He just wanted to document what was happening. But the cops say you can protest, but you can't be a citizen journalist who's protected by the First Amendment. And they said they're going to remove him because his presence incites violence. He wasn't the instigator here.
You have a right to be where you want to be to a certain extent as well. Okay?
That was the airline I found really troubling from a Seattle police officer. You have the right to be where you want to be to a certain extent. I didn't see that one in the Constitution. I didn't know that we only had rights to a certain extent, but that's what he was told.
You have a right to be where you want to be to a certain extent as well, okay?
Uh-huh.
But if we're inciting a potential conflict...
Okay, just let me know when you think... that I'm doing that and how I can de-escalate.
Okay.
We talked to Seattle Police this morning. They said they didn't want to comment on it. They say they're happy that they responded the way they did, because if they'd gone after Antifa, it would have escalated mob violence. We better not be turning over our streets to mobs, as they've done in Portland, because that has had disastrous consequences. But this is what happened. Hey, Jenny Durkin, where were you on Saturday? Where were you when the streets, the sidewalks of downtown were being taken over by a mob preventing private citizens from walking down there? Were you working on your next campaign? That's your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We'll have to check some private emails to see what Jenny Durkin thinks about all that. Awesome audio coming up next. We must act with great haste as we count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio, Clips of the Day.
And our Awesome Audio is brought to you today and every day by Brown Bear Car Wash. Let's start in Illinois, where some veterans in a veteran's home got a Legionnaire's disease. And the maximum payoff is $100,000. Both Democrats and Republicans agree that's too low, but they can't agree on what the cap should be. Some Democrats say $2 million, Republicans say $500,000, $600,000. They're trying to agree on what the cap should be on payouts. And that led to this insanity from a Democratic state rep named Stephanie Kifowit.
Number three.
I mean, this woman sounds as evil as human beings get.
To the representative from Lombard, I would like to make him a broth of Legionella and pump it into the water system of his loved one so that they can be infected, they can be mistreated, they can sit and suffer by getting aspirin instead of being properly treated, and ultimately die.
Whoa! So the Democrat wants her Republican colleague, his wife, and their two adopted children. She wants to make a broth of Legionella, pump it into their water system so they will all die. A Republican rep colleague of the targeted GOPer, she wasn't too thrilled with that.
How dare you? How dare you concoct up some sort of story about brewing up some batch of Legionnaires and having him feed it to his family? How dare you take the discussion and the debate about a very serious bill that has huge cost consequences on both sides, oh, by the way, both for the victim and the state taxpayer. How dare you take an honest debate about an issue and then wish death on my colleague Peter Breen, his wife, and his two adopted kids? It is unbelievable. Unbelievable, but it's just par for the course, because this is exactly what we saw in the election cycle. Oh, there you go, Peter Breen and my buddy Tom Morrison, father of four. Yeah, they support child predators. Yeah, that's what you guys think. That's the kind of garbage you spew into people's minds. You're taking a serious issue, and you're wishing death on colleagues and then smearing everybody else. And then what do you guys do on the other side? You clap.
Yeah, they all applauded after that witch said she wants to make a brew and pump it in the water system and kill the Republican, his wife, and their kids. That's the kind of evil you get from some in political debates. On The View this morning, they were talking about George H.W. Bush. It was a wonderful tribute, right? No, it was The View.
Number two.
I want to say one thing about him that was not picked up, really, because as a candidate, he said, those who think we're powerless to do anything about the greenhouse effect are forgetting about the White House effect. And then he signed into law the Clean Air Act Amendment of 1990, one of the most sweeping environmental statutes ever.
Yeah.
This president that we have now is trying to unravel everything that he did and Obama did. And if I ever become a one-issue voter, it will be about pollution and the greenhouse effect. And
can
the
we
fact
focus
that,
on the president, please? I don't want to talk about Trump. We're honoring a great president
in the past. Please, I want to talk about.
But I'm not interested in your one issue.
I don't care what you're interested in. I'm talking.
Well, I don't care what you're interested in.
We'll be right back.
As for George H.W. Bush, James Baker, a very close family friend, shared his last words that he ever spoke in this life, and it was really beautiful.
Number one.
The last sense that goes is the hearing, and they can hear things. So they got the kids on the phone, and each one of them spoke to him, and he spoke back or mumbled back anyway. And then they got 43 on the phone, and 43 said, I love you, Dad, and I just want to, and I'll see you in heaven. And 41 said, I love you, too. And those were the last words that he ever spoke.
Yeah, it should be our last word, shouldn't it? Got lots more to come. The Dory Monson Show marches on. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. All right, before we get out of here, it's time for today's edition of...
Today's sign that the end is near.
We're going to make this today's sign triple shot for you. Let's start at Stanford University. It's the Harvard of the West, you know. The Sigma Chi frat at Stanford, they have an American flag flying outside of the frat house. But Stanford administrators, according to the Stanford Review, they have requested that Sigma Chi take down the U.S. flag because it is a symbol that could be seen as intimidating, aggressive, or alienating. The fraternity was shut down in May after the university argued that there were accountability issues with the chapter. The alleged incident with this unnamed administrator and the flag, it took place as members were looking to prevent a suspension. But here's what it said in the report. The context of a friendly relationship with Mr. Z made the following incident all the more surprising. One night, Mr. Z was invited to eat dinner at Sigma Chi. While discussing improving the fraternity's image with the university, Mr. Z offhandedly suggested that Sigma Chi remove the potentially discomforting symbol outside the American flag that was being flown in front of the house. Mr. Z urged Sigma Chi to consider the image being presented to the rest of the campus by flying the flag out front. He said if Sigma Chi wished to break away from stereotypes that plagued the house and to change its perception on campus, they should unhoist the American flag. How insane have we gotten that university administrators, I tell you what, if one penny of public money, Stanford's a private university, but if they get one penny of public money from the taxpayers of the United States of America, well, their administrators are saying that they should take down the American flag because it's intimidating, aggressive, or alienating to some people. How weak are people who see the flag as a symbol of aggressiveness and alienation. But it just continues. You know, they're trying to out Berkeley, apparently, in their American hatred at Stanford. It's just, it is pathetic that there are administrators who can have positions like that. Today's sign story number two. Let's go to Byron, Illinois. 10 football players at a Northern Illinois high school have been suspended from the team for 3 games last month after they ran across the football field naked with Oreo cookies wedged between their buttocks. The Rockford Register Star newspaper reports that the Byron High School players were suspended for indecent exposure, but that school administrators, they went on the Oreo run at the school's football field voluntarily. They were not victims of hazing. They wanted to run naked with Oreos between their buttocks. The paper reported the story after obtaining a letter sent to parents from students who admitted to participating in the run in October. The kids had to sit out three games in November, the last of which was the Class 3A state championship game that their team lost 24-20. So if they'd had all their players, they very likely would have been state champions. But they get suspended for the Oreo run. Oreos, the cookies that are white on the inside and brown on the outside. Whew. Never more so than this. What do they do with the Oreos after the run, though? They wouldn't, could they? No. And then, oh, this seems to be kind of a little theme in today's site. It's a story of a prisoner who almost died because of a telephone. An inmate is nursing injuries after undergoing a surgery to remove a mobile phone that was stuck in his rectum. He reportedly was trying to conceal the gadget from prison wardens and other inspectors. The move backfired after the phone failed to come out, giving the inmate a severe stomach ache. Yeah, that would do it, all right. He was forced to reveal to prison officials when he couldn't withstand the agony of failing to pass the stool for 3 days. Doctors have him under observation after a successful operation. I didn't think about that. That'd be heartbreaking if you're addicted to your phone. I mean, a few months ago, I came to work and left my phone at home. I was a nervous wreck. I was all jittery. Imagine going to the big house without your phone. Phone was stuck in his rectum. Rectum? It almost killed him. But anyway, he's going to be okay. The operation was successful. I don't know what's wrong with this guy. Doesn't he know that that part of the body is only meant for Oreos? And all of that is today's sign, the end is near. I gotta get out of here. I know I'm as disappointed as you are that I'm leaving. But I've said everything that I have to say for today. But I will go home and think up a bunch of new stuff for tomorrow's Tuesday extravaganza. Thanks to Brock Heward for coming on with me. Thanks to you for listening. Ron and Don show is coming up next. I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Can't you just ring a little longer, longer? Oh, I'll just sit tight. Shadows of the night, let it ring forevermore. I'm as reliable as rain in Seattle. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.